Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Well, we got our fentanyl pick out of the way early. Yeah, let's give it a try. Just try it once. What could happen?
SI's Russ Dellinger.
Guys, they would have covered if they had won 7-3. They would have covered. They got enough points. They can do this. They can do this. Have faith.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Freshman receiver. There's been a lot of talk about him in the preseason. 3 catches, 25 yards. Nothing spectacular there, but you got to root for a guy named Squirrel.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Race for the case. It's been a disaster so far. I think that was an exhibition week. Actually, two exhibition weeks so far for us.
Freaking terrible.
We're like DJ Ungole. We're just getting warmed up here. Ross leads with a 3-7 record.
Oof. Holy crap.
The Gators, they saved me. The Actually, Gators are the Sean, only one to save me.
Sean is 2-4. So that's technically a better win percentage-wise.
Yeah, there you go.
Producer Sean Anderson, and didn't even pick URI, who covered clearly easy the other day. All right, we're going to get our picks in. But I do want to discuss the first game. We could talk a little bit more than, because we didn't get to it on the earlier of the week because of this, you know, small thing like the expanded playoff. Alabama visits Texas on Saturday. The game is at 11 a.m. in Austin, noon Eastern. Alabama looked ridiculous in just destroying Utah State over the last weekend, every bit that you thought they would be. Bama is a 20-point favorite on the road. I mean, and you know, we'll see how we all pick.
When was the last time Texas was a 20-point home dog?
Well, I was going to ask that, but since I do no research for this show, I wasn't gonna bring that up.
But it'd be good
to know. Yeah. If you listen to a good podcast, they might tell you that. But it's irrelevant. What? Let's say this, okay? First season under Steve Sarkisian was not good, including a loss to Kansas, where they made a hero out of a walk-on tight end and turned him into a Buffalo Wild Wing pitch man. So bad
that was
it was.
So great. That was just awesome.
Sark has done a good job recruiting. You got Quinn Ewers back, who will play this weekend and presumably know where to park. apparently, he had the wrong parking pass on his Porsche.
Yeah. Times are
tough. That's the story they're going with. Look at Austin PD. Anyone who's got a Porsche near the stadium, don't tow it.
Yeah.
Don't tow
it. Had to spend $200 of his NIL money to get it out of the impoundment lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So Quinn, apparently, get Quinn a spot. And obviously, they've got Arch Manning coming. They've got all sorts of stuff. They have Bijan Robinson, who's got this Dijon Mustard deal, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bijan. But what, you want this to, this could obviously be a monumental moment for Texas football, but beating Alabama is very difficult, but they are going to the SEC, and this is, they should be able to go toe-to-toe with these guys. Played them in a national title game not that long ago. What is reasonable, though, before we make the pick? What if you're Steve Sarkisian, other than the shock the world, what are you hoping to get out of this game, Pat?
Cover. you know, be competitive. Be, you know, you want to be in the game. You do not want to be run out of your stadium. I do not anticipate them winning. But yes, can you hang with Alabama the way Florida did in 2020 in Gainesville in the swamp, you know, when they pushed them very near the end and for submitting to what turned out to be a great Alabama team? You know, can you show that sign of progress? Can you look good against a really good defense? Can you slow down a Heisman Trophy winner who played ridiculously well in their opener? So that's really what you're looking for to me. You need a sign of progress. You need a step forward. You need to be in the game in the second half. And if you're into it into the fourth quarter, all the better.
Ross? Yeah, same thing. I don't know that the expectation is,
like always with me in a game like this, I say, and I kind of thought it with the Notre Dame Ohio State, like if Notre Dame entered the fourth quarter with a chance, like a one score game, then they're doing well. I don't know if I should say that about this game. I think if you enter halftime, you know, the second half with a one score game, you're doing well. That's how I feel, I guess. I mean, Alabama, obviously we know how great they've been. And, you know, what I did think was interesting was Sark's comments Monday about this game, talking about how it will not define the season and doesn't mean anything in a way toward as far as getting to, like, you know, a conference championship. But you can tell he's trying to tamper expectations a little bit, which is probably smart of him, honestly.
It's a little like Kirby Smart said to Dan Lanning after the Georgia-Oregon beatdown. He like I have better. He knows I have better players.
Yeah.
Sark obviously knows what that is. Yeah, look, you want to quit yourself like Notre Dame did Saturday night, where you lost, but I think people feel pretty positive. You didn't embarrass yourself in front of recruits. I want to see Ewers be able to make some plays. I would not expect him to have, you know, five TDs and no picks or anything, but I want to see some plays out of him. He looked nervous or not quite. I don't think he overwhelmed anyone beating Louisiana Monroe. I want to see some big time passes out of him. Right. And to me, this is what A&M struggled with when they went to the SEC from the Big 12. They had the skill players, including Johnny Manziel, and Texas will have the skill. I want to see, if I'm a Texas fan, how far behind or how close, or maybe how far ahead, I don't know, you are in the trenches. Because if you're going to compete in the SEC, you better have defensive linemen. You better have people who can block defensive linemen. And there ain't a hell of a lot more defensive lines like Alabama's coming at you.
Right.
So how do we do in the line of scrimmage? Because this is the standard we're going to be chasing. And yeah, it's Alabama, but Georgia's just as good. And when they get it going, you know, LSU, everyone's got linemen over there. And that's the two things I'd really want to see. I think you're always going to have skilled players, and they're certainly set up to have a lot of speed, a lot of game breakers, obviously a lot of quarterbacks. But if you don't win in the trenches, you're in trouble. And if you looked at last year's recruiting class for Texas, it was the one coming in, it's a whole lot of skill guys. Their lower ranked recruits are like offensive linemen and stuff. It's the QB and the wideouts that they're doing great on. So that's kind of what I see. It should be a wild atmosphere, hot, could be really hot, but you figure McConaughey's running around talking about culture. Isn't he the commissioner of culture? What is he?
That's right. Yes.
He's the ambassador of culture.
Ambassador of culture. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. By the way, several listeners have commented that they think Ross sounds like Matthew McConaughey.
That's right. What is that? I have heard that.
Is that what? I've never heard of that in my life.
Really?
You do all right, all right, all right?
All right. Yeah, right, all right, all right. By the way, speaking of heat, yeah, I'm going to be at that game, 11 o'clock kick. And by the time, you know, second quarter halftime rolls around, it's per my phone, it's supposed to be 95 degrees and completely sunny, too. So the heat index will probably be 105 degrees.
Yep. Yeah,
shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be a boiler.
Packed into the 40 acres.
Yeah. So interesting. You brought up Ewers, Dan, and I was looking at his stats from the first game. And, you know, they're playing a completely outmanned Louisiana Monroe team. But they... 11 of his 24 passes were on first down, and that's where almost all of his production was, his yardage and big plays, which is interesting. So they were passing not when they had to. They were passing ahead of schedule and, you know, probably hitting them with play action. I'll admit I did not see any of the game, but they were very good on first down. Can you do that against Alabama? We'll see. I know this. If you do that and you don't succeed and you start getting behind the chains against Alabama, that's when it could be difficult. But Second down, third down, they did pass for very little yardage, no big plays. So they got their work done on first down, and that's going to be the challenge. Can you succeed on first down against an Alabama defense that's extremely good at every level?
Well, we're going to be interested. All right, let's pick it. Or is there anything about Alabama you're anticipating?
I want to see what they throw at Ewers. You know, Saban is a brilliant defensive mind, and they can run some games with their secondary. In addition to just having, you know, perhaps the most fearsome pass rush we've seen in quite a while with Will Anderson and others up front. So I think they're going to throw a lot at Quinn Ewers in his second college game, and we're going to see how he handles that.
Yeah, freshmen, new quarterbacks don't normally bode well. I believe, like, up until about 3 or 4 years ago, right, no freshman had won. And I know Ewers played, like, what, took two snaps at Ohio State, but, you know, he's a redshirt freshman. I think the stat was redshirt freshman or freshman had not beat a Nick Saban coach team at Alabama until, I believe, Trevor Lawrence did it in the national championship game. I think that was the first one.
What about
one.
Maybe Johnny? What about Johnny Manziel?
Was it Johnny? Okay, what, maybe it was Johnny.
I thought he was a redshirt freshman in 2012.
It may have been, but there's been few. So that's definitely something to watch, because you would think they were going to throw all kind of craziness at him, and he'll probably have never seen anything like he's about to see on Saturday.
Well, Johnny Manziel might add a Porsche too. Johnny Manziel in the NIL era. Oh man, so good. I mean, he basically had one. He was signing autographs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Very angered. Got Darren Rovell very upset about that. signing his own autograph. I feel like Quinn Ewers. He is. He's 19 years old. He's a redshirt freshman. But it's like the amount of hype and the fact he took a million out of Columbus and was up there for a year under Ryan Day. And then now he's down here. Like, he's got a lot of coaching and a lot of experience. So we'll see how ready he is for this. But I gotta he's not your typical, you know, just, you know, pulling up his socks, hoping they stay up by his knees or anything. Freshman that just is overwhelmed. He should have some more poise than that. You got that haircut, man. You got your Porsche.
Yeah.
You got to be able to do it. All right, let's pick it. Pat, who you got?
Bama's given 20. 20 yeah. And a hook. Is that the deal?
Just 20 I got.
Okay, flat 20. That's fine. Give me Bama. It's a lot on the road. And again, like the last time Texas was this big an underdog at home, who knows, pre-Daryl Royal. But I will not bet against Alabama at this point in the season, and I will not bet on Texas at this point in the season. I have to see reasons to think otherwise, and I haven't seen them yet. So roll Tide.
Ross?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to regret this, but – you know, picking against Alabama and Nick Saban, never a good idea. But I am going to pick the Longhorns to cover the 20. I think it's going to be close to that, it would seem. But give me the Longhorns at home. A lot of excitement. There'll be a lot of noise. It'll be hot. I'm just gonna maybe get a late backdoor cover of some sort. But it does. It feels like one of those, like, 41 to 21 type of games, and I'm counting on the Horns to do what I said, right? Enter halftime at least with a one score game and hold on tight in the second half to keep it close.
Well, we got our fentanyl pick out of the way early. Yeah, good choice, Ross. Good choice. Yeah, let's give it a try. Let's try it once. What could happen? You just talked yourself into a backdoor push, by the way. 41-21. Maybe it'll be hot. It'll be hot. That's your...
Backdoor push. When you say it like that, Dan, talking yourself into a backdoor push, wow.
Yeah, you know, you don't get to change it. Fentanyl pick is out of the way. The weekly fentanyl pick. Good luck with that. I'll get to you, Sean Anderson. Roll Tide. Hell no, I'm picking Texas. Are you crazy? Sean, who you got?
I think Ross almost solidified my pick here. I'm taking Alabama to cover. I mean,
screw you guys.
Everything Ross said was, I was like, yeah, that's why I'm not picking them.
This is go. This sounded like me picking Nebraska on week zero. I was like, well, they suck and I hate it. And I'm, like, yeah, I'm picking them. Yeah. Anyway,
good times. Right. Good times. All right. is there another game? I don't even know. Let's see what we got. Oh, we got Tennessee at Pitt. Tennessee is a 6.5-point favorite in this game. Pitt. I got one thing to say about Pitt. Big win last week. Everyone's excited. Backyard brawl. Can you guys sell out a little bit more of your stadium?
Yeah. Let's sell some tickets up at Pitt.
Yeah, is everyone saving they're saving up for the Steeler game like the next day? Are the Steelers at home? You got Tennessee coming to the building formerly known as Heinz Field. Let's show up. You guys want to be taken serious? Show up, Pitt. You guys are good. Coming off a big win. I don't normally like to tell you what to do with your money other than buy books that I profit off of. But in this case, maybe you should go to the game. Anyway, Ross, Tennessee at Pitt. Interesting ball game. What do you think?
Yeah, really, really interesting. You know, Pitt coming off of the brawl they get a little extra time, right? Because that was Thursday night. So, well, Tennessee played on Thursday night too, didn't it? They both played Thursday night.
Yeah,
they did. So they both have the adequate extra couple days to prepare.
They didn't do what Louisville did. Louisville is playing on a short week against a long week.
UCF. Not smart.
Yeah. And they open the season with two road games. I mean, it's a disaster.
Silly scheduling there. Right. A good way to schedule to get to fire your coach, right? The Panthers, I'll take Pitt. I don't feel good about it as well, but I'll take Pitt at home because they didn't look great against West Virginia. But I'm just not confident in Tennessee yet. I feel like they're heading in the right direction, but it feels like they're maybe a year or two away from getting to the point where they can go in and win a game handily like this, like maybe they're supposed to over an ACC team. But, Pitt's lines are pretty solid. They've got some good guys on each side of the line. I think they're further ahead of Tennessee at this point. So give me the Panthers.
All right, Pat? Ross and I are starting off diametrically opposed. I'm taking Tennessee here. West Virginia outgained Pittsburgh in that game, and if that pass doesn't go through the hands of their receiver and it be intercepted and kind of tilt the game back to Pittsburgh, I think West Virginia might have gotten out of there with a win. Going to be harder for them, I think, to come back down than certainly Tennessee, which just had a tune-up against Ball State and looked very good doing it. I mean, super productive on offense, threw for 350, ran for over 200. Balance. Hendon Hooker was good. Their receivers were good, including my man Squirrel White, freshman receiver. There's been a lot of talk about him in the preseason. 3 catches, 25 yards, nothing spectacular there, but you got to root for a guy named Squirrel. So I am taking Squirrel and the Vols to win and cover.
Squirrel White.
Yep.
From Birmingham, Alabama. He really should be from East Tennessee.
He should be.
Once held off the Union Army. His grandpa once held off the Union Army. Squirrels from Birmingham. Squirrel White. Fantastic name. Now that Smoke Monday is gone, this could be it.
Yeah. He could be your new guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, who you got?
The heart's saying Tennessee, and I like Hendon Hooker, how he plays, but I saw a lot from Rodney Hammond Jr. Last week versus West Virginia, and that's a guy that I think I could really back in this game to go out and make some plays versus Tennessee. I'm going with Pitt to cover, actually. I think that offense, Keaton Slovis is irritating a quarterback to watch just because you see the highs and lows. But I like what they were doing on offense for the most part. So I'm rolling with Pitt here.
Irritating.
I kind of like it.
Irritating.
Yes.
This is scary. I have no confidence in my picks. I'm like a guy with the yips, like a, you know, golfer can't putt.
Scarred by your early start.
Not the first time I've been described as a golfer that can't putt. I am, but I am going to take Tennessee, and maybe I'm just on the hype train on all of this stuff. But I also noticed that the SEC walloped everybody last week, pretty much. And I just think they're going to have a little better players. Also, if the stadium was sold out and there was really momentum and everything was popping, but I'm not expecting a huge crowd for Pitt, which again disappoints me. But Hendon Hooker, Squirrel White, let's do this. Jalen Wright. Go Vols. Sully would be so proud of me.
He would. Sully, yeah, well, you and I both picking the Vols. How about that?
Funniest spread of the week is the Cyhawk. Iowa State at Iowa. Somehow Iowa, who amassed their 7 points against mighty South Dakota State last week with a field goal and two safeties, is favored by a sizable 3.5 points. They scored 3 offensive points against an FCS team. And yet somehow they're favored by 3.5 over a Big 12 team. We're expecting this offense to kick into gear or something? I don't know. The Cyhawk, worst name of a rivalry. Children of the Corn, please. Change your name. We got the tap water. We got the no offense. The punters are going to be great. A lot of stuff going on here. Not enough hype for the Cyhawk this year. Pat, who you got?
I like the line mystifies me, too, other than the fact that Kirk Ferentz has owned Iowa State. He really has. And, you know, there have been times that it has been past precedent that Iowa will look like a disheveled mess and then get it together against the Cyclones. However, I watched almost all of that debacle in Iowa City. There is no way I'm picking that team. There is no freaking way I can pick that team. Now, maybe they will get it together again and show me wrong, but I am taking Iowa State and the points against the most god-awful offense I've ever seen. And Kirk Ferentz saying he's sticking with Spencer Petras at quarterback, even though he hasn't had a good game since last early October. You go right ahead. Give me the Clones.
What's the line is 3.5?
3.5.
Now, you guys talk about how that line is crazy and how Iowa might have to, you know, what are the bookies thinking? Is Iowa going to magically find offense this week? Guys, they would have covered if they had won 7-3. They would have covered. They got enough points. They can do this. They can do this. Have faith. I feel it again. A 7-3 win. Give me the Hawkeyes to win at home.
Holy moly.
What's the over-under in this game?
The over-under has got to
be
40.
The over-under has got to be 40, 42. What is
41 it? And a half. Nice. They're take begging the under. You to take the under. Yeah,
take
they're
the
begging
under.
You.
Yeah.
Begging you.
Take the under. I mean, though, no, I'm taking, I got to get Sean in here before. I don't want anyone drafting off my great picks.
last week seemed like an abject disaster for Iowa, so I have to go with Iowa State. If they're going to prove something to me, it'll be in this game, and I'll take the loss if that happens. But Iowa State covering 3.5, maybe they'll score 4 points and then cover 7-4.
4-0.
There we go.
4-0.
4-2
would safeties, probably be the old.
Yes.
3 safeties. 4-2. Yeah, I don't think Hunter Deckers is that bad of a quarterback for Iowa State. I think he's like a reasonably competent Division I college football quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, their numbers were pretty good. His numbers were pretty good in the first game.
Xavier Hutchinson is a good receiver. I don't know how I would all their receivers leave in the transfer portal and then they didn't bring anyone in on the transfer. Do they know that the transfer portal works two ways?
That news has not reached Iowa City yet.
You can comes and goes. I'd take in Cyclones win. Hunter Deckers scores at least 2 touchdown passes. They beat they beat the Hawkeyes. They go back and drinks that moderately sweet Ames tap water all night. Go Clones.
Guy, you guys are leaving me hanging again, huh? That's two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Two. Probably a good sign for you.
Yeah, lone wolf times. Given the rest of our picks, it's a very good sign.
Yeah. All right, number 20, Kentucky is at Florida, unranked as of now. Florida given 4.5. Since we mentioned Kentucky, former Kentucky coach Guy Morris passed away earlier this week. Good coach, and I think pretty good guy. Pat, you know him a little better. But yeah. So our thoughts are with his family. But big test in the SEC East. This is a good game. Obviously, do we get more Anthony Richardson show out of the Gators? What is Kentucky capable of doing? This is it. This is a ladder game. Whoever wins this has got a chance to at least go up against those dogs in Athens, out of Athens, and try to see if you can win the division. So very interesting second week game. Start with you, Ross. Who you got?
I got Anthony Richardson,
Gators,
man.
Gators 4.5. Gators minus 4.5.
Yeah, I got Anthony Richardson in the Gators, you know, at home. I know they're coming off of the big win against Utah. They built up, like, all offseason for that game. So there is a little fear, right, that they could have the old letdown against the Cats. But it's hard for me to pick against Anthony Richardson in the Gators after what I saw and what I heard, right, that stadium was a rockin'. It was, and I'm sure it will be on Saturday against Kentucky. So, as you mentioned, big game in the SEC East. Big game for second place in the SEC East.
I'm on the same side with you here, Ross. I think that. I'm a little concerned about the Gators just physically being a little beaten up. When you play Utah, that can happen. But I think positive momentum, super talented quarterback, and a team that's really a program, not the coaches because new coaches, but a program, the players and the fans are supremely pissed that they lost to Kentucky last year. Florida thinks they should never lose to Kentucky. So a little bit of a revenge factor here that should help with the motivation and avoid being flat. Florida defensive line is going to have to stand up. We'll see about Kentucky's got guys suspended. How long are they suspended? Is Chris Rodriguez back for this game or not? Will Levis is talented, but needs to show it against big-time opponents as opposed to just feasting on Kentucky's bad non-conference schedule. So see what happens there, but I'm going to take the Gators and give the points.
Sean Anderson?
Yeah, Florida annihilated me last weekend betting-wise. Took Utah in two separate bets, so that automatically that earned my respect for Florida. It does. Maybe it's a little wishy-washy, and I should be more angry and take Kentucky, but I think I have to take Florida for just decimating my account there.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
Learn from your losses.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all Gators. I'm fired up for the Gators. I didn't see Kentucky play, I'm not gonna lie. So they may come out and surprise me, but I love that Gator team. I love the game, love their quarterback, and 4.5 is not enough. So I will take Gators giving 4.5. All right. Future Big 12 game. Number 10, Baylor visits number 25, BYU. It's like kind of a religious battle here. BYU is giving 3.5 up in Provo. And I don't know who we're supposed to start with on this one. Pat, we'll start with you.
Yeah. The Baptists against the Mormons here. Interesting. I'm going to take Baylor getting points. I think Baylor program just incredibly solid. Now, they got no challenge from Albany, of course. Nor would they. And that's to say, I will say, like, BYU, that was a very impressive opener going to South Florida and taking care of business there. But Baylor, you know, physically very good in the trenches. They're going to be defensively schemed, aligned, ready. They will give Jaren Hall some stuff. Blake Shapen was good in his debut there after, I mean, he played some last year, but 17 out of 20, 214 yards, two touchdowns. A 208 efficiency rating. That's a very nice way to start the season. So I'm rolling with the Bears getting points at Provo.
Yeah, I'm I'm going to do the same. I'm going with the Bears getting those points as well. Like you said, they're in a little, I feel like a little different place, the program in general, than BYU. I'm intrigued by there's a few people on the Baylor staff that that worked at BYU fairly recently, most notably Jeff Grimes, Baylor's offensive coordinator. So he's going back to the old stomping ground. So that should be interesting to watch. I think there's a lot of buzz and excitement on the staff in this game and in returning. And I think they want to make their return with a victory. And I do, it's hard to, like Pat said, it's kind of hard to tell where Baylor is and in shape and is. The numbers were good, but they played Albany. You know, they ran the ball decently well with a lot of different backs, and the defense played well. But it is hard to tell, and I think BYU probably got the more impressive outing going on the road to South Florida and that kind of a cross country trip. But I'll take the Bears in probably a pretty close game. Hopefully, they'll manage to cover the points.
I think I'm going to ride with Pat and Ross here. I think Aranda is going to have this team locked in, and I don't think anybody on that team or that program is going to be happy being underdogs to BYU this early in the season going into BYU. Say you're giving them 3 points just because it's a home game for BYU, sure, but I think Baylor is going to be incredibly locked in for this game and ready to go for their first real big game of the season.
Same. I'm Baylor. You're giving me 3.5. Too much speed for Baylor, I think, in this game. Like BYU, but Baylor's really rolling right now. So I'm taking Baylor. We're unanimous on that. All right, lock of the week time. Who has got a lock of the week? Ross, you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, I picked 3 games, and as I talk right now out loud, I'm still trying to decide which one of the three. But
right, we'll go to Pat.
I'm gonna go with what we were talking about earlier, right? Louisville, UCF. I'm going to go with UCF to cover the 6.5 at home against a Louisville team that looked like crud at Syracuse last week and has a short week compared to UCF, which obviously got a few more days to prepare. So give me Gus Malzahn and the Knights to cover the 6.5.
All right, I'm going to take, and I like that pick, by the way. It just sets up terribly for a Louisville team that looked terrible. So I'm going to the Pac-12 here, and I'm going to take USC giving 9.5 at Stanford. USC looked extremely good in the opener. Now, you know, they didn't play anybody. This is a step up in competition, but Stanford is not in a great place as a program. They were fine beating Colgate, but they didn't run the ball with great authority even against Colgate. I mean, they were okay, but, I think Stanford still is struggling to get back to what it was and what it is. And also, Stanford students aren't on campus yet. There's going to be no atmosphere. USC is not going into a snake pit of any kind. They're going to walk in there, and it's going to be just like a neutral site scrimmage, basically. So I am going with the Trojans to win and cover the 9.5.
All right, Sean?
I'm staying in the pack as well here. After the Florida-Utah disaster, one team actually saved me late in the evening, and that was Oregon State versus Boise State. So I'm going to ride with the Beavers here again this week. Oregon State favored by 1 versus Fresno State. I like how they ran the ball. I like how their offense moved. It looked quick. They looked like they had some pace and energy, so I hope they carry it over to this upcoming week as well.
That was a good-looking performance by Oregon State.
It was.
And, I watched that, and I got to say, that's the worst I've ever seen Boise look since I started watching Boise State football.
Program's in trouble.
Bad.
Bad trajectory.
Pat wrote about it in the Dash. It does not look good for them.
Yeah. I mean, I whenever they got good, I started watching a lot of them. They're always on, late at night. That was dreadful, but I do think you got to give some credit to Oregon State on that. They're coming. Coming a little bit there. So I'm going to do that. All right. I'm going bold. I'm taking Michigan giving 51 points.
What? What?
Wow.
What?
It was 50.5. I'm getting different. I'm giving 50.5. I found an odds 50.5. Some are 51. I'm locking in at 50.5. Give me the half a point. Oh, thank you.
Gosh. Wow.
Hawaii Hawaii just gave up 63 to Vanderbilt. They just gave up 49 to Western Kentucky. The Michigan defense is legit. Okay? They got blown out by both those teams. Scored 10 and 17. I don't know if they score in this game. If they do, it's going to be a field goal late. I would certainly look. We're not doing this for this purpose. It's going to be bad radio. I would look at the first half over-under. Michigan is going to play J.J. McCarthy, who is trying to win the starting job. They move the ball with ease against Colorado State, but they stalled out because Cade McNamara did not get four red zone trips, one TD. That will not be a problem against Hawaii. McCarthy's going to have a huge game. They're going to be pushing the envelope because they're trying to figure out who should be the quarterback. It will be an all-out offense. And then it's a chance McNamara comes in the second half trying to make like a closing argument. So they ain't going to let up. So I'm taking Michigan on all of those reasons. Hawaii's awful. They got to be dispirited. They're now flying all the way across the country. It's at night. It's in Ann Arbor. It will be full. And it just nothing poses well for the Rainbow Warriors on that one. So, I'm taking Michigan minus 50.5.
That's a first in podcast history to lay 50.
I was about to say.
It's a nerve wracker,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
When you're down 50 at the beginning,
you need seven touchdowns to get close to covering. Yeah.
They're doing it.
You need more than seven touchdowns.
They're going to crush them. Vanderbilt scored 63 against these guys in Hawaii.
They did.
Western Kentucky scored 49.
They did.
In Hawaii. Now you're going to get, it's going to be like 63-3.
You better hope
I would check
is.
The yeah. first half over under. I don't know what it is, but McNamara is going to be playing like this is the dang national championship game. Cause it's like, I can take this job right now.
You get a tipped ball pick six for Hawaii, and all of a sudden now you need like nine touchdowns.
I know.
What if Michigan starts running the rock? They slow the game down. Yeah. Not enough time to score.
Yeah. No fear.
No fear.
Who's got it better than us? With an enthusiasm unmatched in mankind, I pick the Michigan Wolverines. Come on, Harbaugh. Run it. Oh, well, I don't know. This is a dangerous one. What? I'm 2-8. What the hell is going to happen?
All right. How bad can it be?
Good God. All right. Those are our picks. We will be back at least by Monday morning with the overreact to all of this and see what kind of fools we are. I can't remember who it was. Someone tweeted me and said I was behind on listening, so I listened to the Race for the Case and then the overreaction back to back, and it's hysterical how bad you guys were on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Hey, I didn't pick Texas. Somebody around here did. Don't worry. You won't get addicted. That's just for everybody else. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us and come back next week. Talk to you later.